Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. On this week's program, I'd like to discuss a religious exemption letter. Then I'd like to discuss the psychology or the mindset of the vaxxers, as they're called, you know, those who are pushing for these vaccine mandates and the masks. You know, a couple of weeks ago, my program was all about the moral basis for a religious exemption to COVID-19, the vaccinations. That was YouTube number 188. But in that program, I didn't detail the wording to be used in an exemption letter. But since that video, I've received a number of requests for an actual sample letter. So that's what I want to cover. I will put the text of this letter on my website, godandcountryradio.org, under program 523, video number 190, in the transcript box. Now, of course, if you have to request a religious exemption, you should put your own words to it, but it's helpful to look at sample letters. I've read quite a few. Some take the approach, you know, that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You should not put anything into your body that's harmful. But that begs the question, are these vaccines harmful? Some take the approach of appealing to Old Testament dietary laws, just as the state can't force a Jew to eat a ham sandwich, I shouldn't be forced to take these vaccines against my religion. But if we really want to be biblical, the Old Testament dietary laws do not apply to the Christian. That appeal is only based on legal precedent. One's actual religious convictions are not being explained. Other letters take the approach of appealing to the Constitution, that in America we have freedom of conscience, and that principle originates in the Bible. But again, that's more an appeal to current law than to the Scripture. I have here one letter that quotes Romans chapter 14, verse 23. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So the only reason given is simply, I don't have faith in these vaccines. Another letter states that biblically, the state doesn't have authority over our bodies. This is an authority God only gives to the individual. Therefore, it's our decision, not the state's. And then there are those letters that object to the vaccines only on the basis of the use of fetal cells in the development. And I find that most sample letters contain many of these points all mixed together, hoping that at least one of these arguments will be successful. Now, the letter I've put together is not perfect. It's just the particular way I see the situation. But let me share my criteria. A letter needs to be brief. Many employees and students have to type these exemption requests into a small box on the webpage. And the people reading these letters don't want to read a novel. Remember, brevity is the soul of wit, and people only remember short sound bites. If something is true, it will be simple. Complicated arguments belial error. Second, the letter should be biblical. We want to explain to people what God's word says, not merely what the Constitution says. This is our opportunity to leave a witness, not just win an argument. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. And remember Daniel chapter 3? When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were brought before Nebuchadnezzar, they used it as an opportunity to glorify God, not to argue Babylonian law. Third, the letter should get to the heart of the matter. So often in apologetics, we miss the forest for the trees. We have to ask, what is the main objection to these vaccines? Forget the peripheral issues. The axe must be laid at the root of the tree. And finally, an exemption letter should be honest. We should never try to hide our fears our self-will, our stubbornness, any disdain for authority, under the guise of religious convictions. So here's my first sentence. As a Christian, I follow the overarching law of God concerning the protection of life, thou shalt not murder. So notice I begin with the core principle. And I believe if we boil down all of the objections to the vaccine, they can be reduced to the sixth commandment, thou shalt not murder. The main objection is that either directly or indirectly, these COVID-19 vaccines threaten life. Yes, these vaccines may have been formulated to protect life, but in practice, they also threaten life, both in the use of fetal tissue, in the development and the testing of these vaccines, and also in the adverse reactions to these vaccines. So my next sentence gives solid proof concerning how these vaccines threaten life. Quote, the CDC states that 17,000 have died from complications due to the COVID vaccines. And after that sentence, I include the link to the CDC website and that statistic. But here's where it gets confusing. I just went to the CDC front page website, and the number on their front page is now 9,367. And unless I'm going crazy, at the beginning of this month, I saw 16,300 in that same sentence. So I did some searching online, and lo and behold, the CDC has been caught this summer changing the numbers. Here's an article from Christian Daily. CDC caught deleting 6,000 COVID vaccine deaths from the VAERS website. That's the CDC's Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, VAERS. I mean, it's a whole different website than their front page. You see, the CDC can make up and change their rules concerning what constitutes death related to the vaccine. But if you dig into the CDC's own VAERS website, which is actually a difficult thing to do, you will get the current number of 17,619. So instead, it's easier really to put in a link of a reputable site that posts the CDC's actual number, like this one, the National Vaccine Information Center, which has 818,000 reports of adverse events from age groups, all age groups following the COVID vaccines, 17,619 deaths, 122,000 serious injuries between December 14th, 2020 and October 15th, 2021, data released Friday by the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC. But now we have to anticipate the response of the vaxxers we're trying to appeal to. Always anticipate and answer your opponent's objections. We see Jesus did this quite often in the Gospels. Also, 2 Corinthians 2:11, so that no advantage would be taken of us by Satan, for we're not ignorant of his schemes. So the vaxxers will claim that this is an acceptable loss, that it's okay for people to die from the vaccine if more people are being helped. And so in the next paragraph, I explain the false Antichrist ideology of utilitarianism, that the ends justify the means. And this is what I went into detail about in my program 2 weeks ago concerning vaccine religious exemptions, the false ethic of utilitarianism, the greater good for the greatest number of people, and this is what's driving COVID policy. The vaxxers are looking the other way when it comes to those dying of this vaccine and those becoming disabled because they believe it's resulting in the greater good. Even the heads of the CDC and the FDA, when confronted with the evidence of adverse reactions to the vaccine, have said it doesn't matter, it's for the greater good. And few Americans know that people are dying of these vaccines. Or they may hear that it's just a few, no more than who are dying of other vaccines, but that's a lie. So this is why I include the 17,000 number coming from the CDC itself. But even then, the vaxxers are saying, will say, well, look how many people are being saved. How many are being saved is almost impossible to determine. Ever since the vaccines came out, 350,000 people have died from COVID. And a large percentage of them were already vaccinated. As in the point I made last week, the former head of the CDC said that 40% of those dying of COVID in Maryland were fully vaccinated. So how many are actually being saved by the vaccine? So for argument's sake, let's say the vaccine saves 200,000 people or 300,000 people. So do we kill 17,000 to save 300,000? Well, when you put it in those terms, people start to question the ethics of the whole thing. Maybe there's a better alternative, like focusing on treatment and natural herd immunity. You see, the goal of this exemption letter is not simply to state one's religious beliefs, but to, as briefly as possible, teach these vaxxers some biblical ethics concerning the protection of life, and to teach them about the error of utilitarianism, you know, this philosophy that historically has resulted in the most heinous violations of human rights. When people begin to believe that some people are expendable to save the majority, that's the justification for all sorts of evil. So we need to teach biblical morality because we're living in a society that's void of morals. Remember, over half of the American population believes it's acceptable to kill babies in the womb for the greater good. So no wonder COVID policy is what it is. We're dealing with unsaved people who are darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart, they become callous. That's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Also, Proverbs 28:5, evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand all things. Or Jeremiah 4:22, for my people are foolish, they're shrewd to do evil, but to do good, they do not know. And Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. So, after writing in my sample letter that the CDC states that 17,000 have died from complications due to the COVID vaccine, here's my next line. According to the CDC and the FDA, this is an acceptable risk. I put that in quotation marks. And now I go on to explain how it is not an acceptable risk for Christians who believe in protecting life. Quote, the current mindset is that it's acceptable that a few may die or be disabled by the vaccine, but the vaccine will likely reduce the possibility of many more people dying from COVID-19. This is the ideology of utilitarianism, the greatest good for the greatest number of people, and the ends justify the means. This ideology is anathema to Christianity. The utilitarian philosophy of John Stuart Mill's is described in the famous trolley car analogy. If you pull the track switch to the right, one person dies. If you pull the switch to the left, 10 people die. The fallacious conclusion is to sacrifice the one for the 10. The Christian position is to not take anyone's life for the greater good, but to find the God-given alternative. See, in real life, we're not reduced to two choices. In the trolley car illustration, one could wave down the trolley or hope that the people see the train coming and jump off the track. Christians are not to sacrifice the one for the many. Throughout history, utilitarianism has been responsible for the most heinous violations of human rights. Jesus Christ was put on the cross because the high priest preached utilitarianism, that one man must die for the good of the nation. As a Christian, I will not put my life or the life of others at risk with these vaccine mandates, unquote. Now, when I was writing out this sample letter, I was really hesitant to go into an explanation of utilitarianism and the trolley car illustration. But the people reading this letter, HR departments, colleges, state officials, need to have their moral assumptions challenged. These vaxxers believe they are morally superior to the anti-vaxxers, and they need to be shown that their ethics are not right. We need to show that the Christian position is more equitable, logical, more reasonable. Because as it is, they think Christians are just operating on superstition, when in fact, it's the vaxxers who are actually operating on fear and superstition and overreaction and self-centeredness with this ends justify the means. That it's okay to force some people to die or be disabled so that I can be safe. So I conclude the letter now with a paragraph about the tissue of aborted babies being used in the testing and development of these vaccines. And this is a seamless transition into that issue because this is also being driven by the philosophy of utilitarianism. Quote, furthermore, the practice of abortion is also based on the false ethic of utilitarianism. Rather, in following the higher law of God, the abortionist acts according to what is personally expedient. Pfizer has stated in internal memos that aborted fetal cells have been used in COVID-19 vaccine development and testing. This is morally identical to forced organ harvesting practiced in communist China. It's evil on its face, but the public has become morally uninformed and desensitized. The courts have allowed for vaccine exemptions based upon religious beliefs. I request such an exemption. Unquote. So in this paragraph, I cite the article about Pfizer's internal memo, and I make the comparison to forced organ harvesting in China. Prisoners do disappear in China. Their organs are harvested for other people. You know, most Americans realize that using aborted babies to help adults medically is a sleazy practice. It's like the night of the body snatchers. It's making clones to steal their organs. So that's my sample religious exemption letter. It's not a literary masterpiece. Probably if I had more time, I would clean it up. But at least it's brief and it's something you can work off of. But let's hope and pray that this whole vaccine mandate hysteria collapses on its own weight. Because there are so many anti-mandate protests coming from state and federal employees, even in the military. They can't fire everyone. Syracuse.com, 9,000 New York City workers on leave as COVID vaccine mandates take effect. As of the Friday vaccine deadline, a sizable chunk of New York City workers still haven't blinked. 28% of firefighters, 24% of sanitation workers, 16% of law enforcement officers, and 16% of emergency medical services remained unvaccinated. In all, we're talking 14% of municipal employees, nearly 53,000 people. And trash is piling up as sanitation workers are not showing up for work. Now, de Blasio is taking the challenge and refusing to back down on the mandates, but he's out of step with the rest of the country. In Chicago, the mayor suspended the mandate deadline due to the pushback. And the COVID numbers are dropping, so these vaccines are becoming more and more unnecessary. Here's an interesting piece by Howard Kurtz. COVID-19 declines may be good news for America, but bad news for Biden. While Trump launched Operation Warp Speed, Biden reaped its political benefits. Now, that may sound like a Republican conspiracy theory, but Kurtz is quoting from Politico in this piece. Politico says that the political fallout of declining COVID numbers may be severe, especially for the Democrats. It takes away a great issue, Ben Tribbett, a Democrat strategist in Virginia, is quoted as saying. Also, Bill Maher, the liberal news commentator, said last week, just resume living. I know some people seem to not want to give up on this wonderful pandemic, but you know what? It's over. And he went on to say, I travel in every state now, back on the road, and the red states are a joy, and the blue states are a pain in the ass for no reason. So one of his guests chimed in by saying, one of the critical things that is being discussed right now by President Biden, one of the things we have to recommit ourselves to, is supporting vaccination around the rest of the world. There's still a lot of countries that are very, very minimally vaccinated because if a variant develops out in the world that is able to defeat the vaccine, we're all the way back at the beginning. So in the United States, most of the Western world, we're ready to be done with this, but we're not done until the world is safe, and we're not safe as a world until the world is vaccinated. But then Bill Maher rebuked him by saying, except the world recognizes natural immunity and we don't. Maher says, because everything in this country has to go through the pharmaceutical companies. Natural immunity is the best kind of immunity. We shouldn't be firing people who have natural immunity because they don't get the vaccine. We should be hiring them. Unquote Bill Maher. And I quote him because his commentary is a telltale sign of where the culture is going. And God uses all this to protect his people. There's another factor we need to consider in all this, which I haven't talked about much, is that people are faking vaccine cards. When you go into a restaurant in New York City, many restaurants aren't even checking the cards. Here's an article. 40% of New York City businesses were not compliant with vaccine card mandate. And even if someone does show a card to the guy at the door has no way of verifying the legitimacy of the card. There is no national database. There's no digital ID. And even if there were a digital ID, it's really relatively easy to get a real vaccine card from a medical facility without taking the shot. Don't ask me how I know this. But here's an article. Custom agents just caught a ship loaded with 6,000 fake vaccine cards made in China. Well, that's another underreported story. So the whole thing is one big joke. The only people who are being troubled in all this are those few people who are honest and won't tell a lie. Now, as far as Christians and fake IDs, I would not say it's never permissible to tacitly deceive some authorities. I mean, a Jew would not admit that he's a Jew while trying to escape from Nazi Germany. And we do see some examples in Scripture of God's people deceiving their enemies. Sometimes enemies don't have a right to know the truth. But in this case, it seems to be a whole lot more just and righteous for most anti-vaxxers to tell the truth. The more who honestly stand against the mandate, the better it is for all of us. In closing, I would like to now discuss briefly the moral and the psychological mindset of vaxxers. If you Google this, psychology of vaxxers, you'll instead only get articles about the psychology of anti-vaxxers, as if the psychological problem is with the anti-vaxxers. But there is a psychosis in the vaxxers. A psychosis is a departure from reality. In other words, policies and opinions that come from made-up, preconceived ideas of what reality is. The vaxxers have a certain worldview that make them vaxxers. Case in point, Dan Bongino, the conservative news commentator who took over the Rush Limbaugh spot, 12 to 3, with Cumulus Media. Cumulus has about 300 or 400 stations. Here in New York, the time slot is being filled by Clay Travis and Buck Sexton. But Cumulus Media is demanding that all of its employees be vaccinated. And Dan Bongino has refused to show up until Cumulus changes its policy. And so Cumulus is having to play reruns of Bongino. Now, Bongino is vaccinated because of a medical condition, but he's standing up for other employees who are refusing to take the vaccine. Bongino won't work for a company that's requiring blanket vaccine mandate. But my point is this. The head of Cumulus Media, Mary Berner, is digging in her heels on the issue, even requiring people who work remotely to be vaccinated. People who have already had COVID and have the natural antibodies have to be vaccinated, and she's not giving the option of weekly testing. She actually implemented this policy back in August, even before the Biden administration. Why? Because Mary Berger is avid vaxxer. She believes she has a moral necessity to force people to be vaccinated. De Blasio thinks the same way. He said this week on Morning Joe, quote, here's my message. Every mayor in America, every governor in America, every CEO of a business in America should put a vaccine mandate in place, and you will make all of us safer, and you will help us all end COVID, the COVID era, once and for all. This is what it's about. End it. Stop living this way. Vaccines are what does it. So he really believes in zero COVID through vaccines, and that's actually scientifically questionable. I know of some teachers who are teaching remotely for the New Jersey school system, and yet they're being required to be vaccinated. I mean, for those making the policy, it's not about reason. It's not about science. It's about a moral imperative that some people have to get all those people under their authority vaccinated. I know of someone who works in a particular business. All the upper management doesn't care about vaccinations, but one department head is a vaccine Nazi. And so the company has implemented draconian mandate policy. What's going on here? Well, here's an article from Psychology Today that explains how vaxxers think. I could quote many articles, but here's this one entitled, Why Are Anti-Vaxxers Willing to Harm Themselves and Others? Arrogance, Selfishness, Both Qualities Undermine Our Collective Resilience. The author begins with the following, As a resilient researcher, I'm not very tolerant of those who refuse a vaccine. When the science is clearly on the side of public health, when one sees the damage done around the world by communicable diseases like polio and measles and now the pandemic, and then sees how those with ready access to a vaccine decline service, one has to wonder what possible justification there could be for imperiling not just oneself, but everyone else in one's community as well. Here are three reasons why I think anti-vaxxers are just plain wrong and their stance immoral, unquote. So here's something we need to recognize, that the vaxxers believe they are operating on a higher moral plane. They believe they're right. And when has any public consensus believed it wasn't right? The Democratic Party believes abortion is right. But confidence in rightness, you know, even the opinion of the majority doesn't guarantee rightness. But here this author begins by assuming he's right, and he gives three proofs. And his first is trust the science. Clearly, people need to trust those who have devoted their careers to science. For some reason, though, when it comes to vaccination, there are those who think they know more than the microbiologists who have spent lifetime studying the minutiae of viral and bacterial infections. I can only attribute this mistrust to arrogance and the fabrication of medical information on the internet to an unwillingness of some to admit that they can't know everything about every subject. It takes humility to acknowledge that our expertise is limited in a world as complex as ours is today. The hubris displayed by those who are hesitant to vaccinate should be a clue to their insecurity. So here the author will then go on to associate those who are against the COVID vaccine with those who are against all vaccines and those who are afraid to fly on planes, which is not true. And notice he attributes this lack of trust in science to arrogance, that some people think they know more than the educated, and certainly there are some arrogant people in any movement. This author is claiming that humility is on the side of the vaxxers, but we know that anti-vaxxers tend to point out that the vaxxers and the scientists are the ones filled with hubris, that they are claiming to know more than what they really know about the effects of injecting people with the mRNA vaccine. You know, as Christians, we realize how wrong scientists can be. I mean, just look at the example of the scientific consensus on evolution and the Noahic flood. This is even mentioned in the Bible in 2 Peter chapter 3, that mockers will come in the last times who are willingly ignorant of the creation and of the flood because it's not about scientific evidence. It's about their imposing of their worldview on the scientific data. See, this author fails to deal with the fact that those who are anti-COVID vaccine are all about the actual scientific evidence. There are many scientists and doctors, even the originator of the mRNA technology, who say this vaccine is bad science. Now, last week in my YouTube, the YouTube was taken down because they claimed that I wasn't following YouTube community guidelines and spreading medical misinformation. What's their standard? Well, quote from YouTube, YouTube doesn't allow claims about COVID-19 vaccination that contradict expert consensus from local health officials or the World Health Organization. Yet all the statistics I quoted were from the CDC. But you see, this is not about medical science. I was contradicting the ethics that leading medical officials were applying to the science. I was saying that the 17,000 deaths were unacceptable. These medical experts are not acting on scientific data. They are making ethical moral decisions. They are saying that the vaccine is worth the risks, worth the fatalities, and that has nothing to do with science. So stop claiming that anti-vaxxers are not following the science when they are following the science and the data, but objecting to the ethics being applied to the science by social leaders. What YouTube is censoring is a moral position, but claiming it's about the science. Here's an article written by Wayne Root, a radio commentator for the USA Radio Network. In it, he explains what he said to a New York Times reporter who was asking him about his anti-vax position. From the article, "Hello, Mr. Root. I'm a media reporter with the New York Times. My colleague and I are working on a story about false or misleading vaccine information in the audio space. You have said on Facebook that the vaccines don't work and the vaccines are a complete failure. Do you have any comment?" So Wayne Root responds, "Sure, I have a comment. Every word I said is based upon science and facts. The Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, VAERS, is the only present scientific way of measuring deaths and injuries from any vaccine, including the COVID-19 vaccine. It's not my system. It's not based on politics. It has nothing to do with conservative or liberal opinions. It is a science-based medical reporting system provided by the government and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. It is the only way of keeping track of deaths, crippling injuries, and adverse reaction from any vaccine. It has been used for many decades. No one in the medical community or media has ever in history ignored or disparaged VAERS before. Until now, here are the VAERS numbers. Over 17,000 Americans are reported dead from this vaccine, mostly from stroke, heart attacks, and blood clots. Over 800,000 are reporting injuries, many of them hospitalized, over 83,000. Many with life-threatening illnesses, over 18,000. And many others permanently disabled, over 26,000. This information is all publicly available and provided by the CDC. This cannot be called misleading by anyone in the media. The very definition of misleading would be to either disparage or ignore VAERS and not report on it daily to your readers. The numbers of deaths and significant injuries reported to VAERS is now dramatically higher than in the past 30 years combined. This has happened in only 10 months. That's a fact. Facts cannot be misleading, unquote, Wayne Root. Oh, well said, and you get the point. So I believe what we have here in the vaxxers is that they are the ones uninformed in regard to the science. They are not aware of these adverse reactions, either because they're just listening to the mainstream media or they're ignoring the data out of a bias or wishful thinking. They're assuming too quickly that the vaccines are just fine, and they're naively trusting the pharmaceutical companies and the politicians. I don't want to go too long here, but I have to show you this commercial that's being aired on all the networks because it demonstrates the fantasy that these vaxxers are in.
Some people think if they already had COVID-19, it means they're fully protected. False. Others may think natural remedies can protect them. False. Some may be worried the vaccines cause infertility. But that's false. Even healthy individuals are at risk of getting COVID-19 and having long-lasting health issues. Get vaccinated. For more information, visit nyc.gov/COVID-vaccine.
So let's break this down. The first line. Some people think if they already had COVID-19, it means that they are fully protected. False. And this is what's been reported by the CDC at the beginning of the summer, that the vaccines offer a better immunity than natural immunity. And once the CDC put out that press release, hundreds of media outlets started creating articles saying the exact same thing. But it's been since proven false. Even Fauci admitted that natural immunities give better protection. But notice how the commercial frames the narrative. Some people think if they already had COVID-19, it means they're fully protected. No, people who have had COVID-19 don't believe that they are fully protected as if they could never get COVID again, but they believe that they're better protected than if they take the vaccine. So that's not false. The next line of the commercial, others may think natural remedies can protect them. False. What's this a reference to? What's a natural remedy? A remedy is a treatment. This commercial is a jab at ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine, subtly claiming that there's no treatment, which has been refuted by many doctors. Many doctors argue that there has been a suppression of treatment in favor of putting all hopes in this vaccine. Well, the third line, some may be worried the vaccines cause infertility, but that is false. Well, is it really? Here's a new study from medical professionals. Researchers in Pew Review study call for an immediate withdrawal of the mRNA COVID vaccines for use in pregnancy, those breastfeeding, those of childbearing age, and children. After their shocking study reveals stunning results of pregnant mRNA vaccinated women, 92% of the women had a spontaneous miscarriage in the first 13 weeks, while 81.9% of women who received the mRNA COVID vaccine had a spontaneous miscarriage in the first 20 weeks. Well, why not look into these studies? Or at least wait for more research? But no, they're sure it's false. The whole thing may become one big crisis for the FDA and the CDC in that they've approved and promoted these vaccines for children and pregnant women. Well, the final line, even healthy individuals are at risk of getting COVID-19 and having long-lasting health issues. Yet the CDC even states in their own statistics, even healthy individuals are at risk of long-lasting health issues from taking the vaccine. But of course, that's not mentioned. You know, after that commercial I was watching on the network, it was immediately followed by another commercial for a shingles vaccine put out by a private company, SmithKline. And after telling about the Shingrix vaccine, they had to, by law, list all the side effects. You know that after every drug commercial, they give this long list of side effects and you wonder why anybody would actually take the drug. But do you know why the government is advertising all of these vaccines continually and not the drug companies? These advertisements for these vaccines are not coming from J&J or Moderna or Pfizer. Because if they were, they would have to list all of the side effects. But government agencies don't have to do that. Well, let's get back to that article from Psychology Today. His first point was trust the science. Clearly, people need to trust those who have devoted their careers to science. Really, it doesn't look like they're trusting the science to me. It looks like they're trusting their worldview. But his second reason, this writer says that anti-vaxxers are immoral, is because they have broken the social contract. Quote, our individual resilience is always dependent on the resilience of the support systems. Support systems we depend upon. These anti-vaxxers are being selfish, unquote. Well, that sure sounds like trust the regime. Like Revelation chapter 13, go along with the government, otherwise you're a troublemaker. But underlying his argument here is that the unvaccinated are hurting the group. When actually, those who are opposing the vaccines may be playing a very important role in stopping groupthink, hindering totalitarianism, thwarting the delusion that the state and the scientists are always right. The vaxxers have come to believe this slogan that this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated, but that's an unproven assumption. Because vaccinated people are still getting COVID, and the CDC even says that if you're vaccinated, you can still be a carrier of COVID. There's also some interesting science out there that is showing that the vaccinated are the ones producing the variants. They are creating, or they have created, the Delta mutation by their partial vaccine resistance. And that completely torpedoes this pandemic of the unvaccinated claim. Now, some anti-vaxxers are jumping on that theory. I just don't think there's enough research on this, so I can't vouch for that theory. But here's a piece from NPR that even they have experts saying that the vaccine is resulting in these mutations. So maybe in the end, we'll discover that despite the claim of this author in this Psychology Today article, the anti-vaxxers are actually helping out society more by their hesitancy. Third, the third argument in this article is that anti-vaxxers are manipulating others to make themselves feel omnipotent. Quote, as self-serving as a yoga guru who owns a fleet of Rolls Royces or politicians who abuse their influence for personal gain, the anti-vaxxer is not necessarily opting out of a vaccine regimen, but instead opting in to an identity they perceive as powerful. Well, that's not a very good argument, because the same thing can be said about the vaxxers. That the vaxxers want power also. As in a sign I recently read, it's not about the virus, it's about control. Well, I'm out of time here. But the point I want us to see is that we are in the battle over morals and ethics. And is not this the message of Scripture? Where the psalmist cries out, help me to keep your precepts. Help me to not be deceived by presumptuous sins. And we read that there's a way that seems right unto a man, and the ends thereof are the ways of death. Or Proverbs 21:2, every man's way is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. How can we be confident that we're right? Maybe we are self-deceived. Maybe we are wrong. Well, somebody could say that about the Christian stance against abortion or transgenderism or LGBTQ or communism. But the Bible does give us ethical standards and guidelines by which we can know what's right. And it's not ambiguous. There is a consensus of Christian ethics on all of these issues. Proverbs chapter 1. To know wisdom and instruction. To discern the sayings of understanding. To receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity. To give prudence to the naive. To the youth, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning. A man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. God does give us guidance and wisdom. So go to Him, go to His Word. I mean, that's the whole purpose of this channel. Thanks for listening today. Subscribe, like, share, leave a comment below, and may Jesus Christ reign.